Okay, so let's go ahead and get started. Drummond, thank you very much for taking the time to have this discussion with us. We know you're very, very busy, so we really appreciate you taking the time. What we're trying to do is we're going around and asking a number of people that have been in kind of this identity credential space for the past decade plus, like many, many years. And we're going around asking them about a new initiative that we're trying to start up. So the new initiative is called, you know, verifiable claims or credentials. And the W3C is currently trying to figure out whether or not we should start official work on something around verifiable claims or credentials, right? So we have this page up called the Verifiable Claims Task Force, or we have a task force called the Verifiable Claims Task Force, and we've identified a problem statement and a scope of work and what we deem success criteria are. We have definitions, description of user-centric versus service-centric stuff. And what we're trying to figure out is if people like you think that the work we're attempting to do is worthwhile, or if you think that maybe a subset of it's worthwhile. In general, we're just trying to get your thoughts on what we're trying to do.
Sure.
Have you had a chance to look at that Verifiable Claims Task Force page yet?
Yep.
Okay, all right. So what we're going to do is we're going to just go down the problem statement and definitions and then talk a bit about user-centric versus server-centric. And what we're looking for is just your thoughts on the matter, whatever kind of pops into your head. So is that clear so far?
Yep.
Okay, all right. Well, then let's go ahead and get started. Let's take a look at the problem statement here. Let's see, problem. So if you go to this link here, that should take you to the problem statement. And so we kind of start off with an assertion that there's no widely used user-centric standard for expressing and transacting verifiable claims via the web.
Yep.
So,
yep.
You know, it is very difficult today on the web to exchange your digital driver's license or passport or that you have a certain degree or that you took a certain class. And we're basically saying that, you know, we believe that people want to create an ecosystem that enables this to happen on the web. Thoughts so far, like do you agree with that statement or do you disagree? Would you tweak it?
I agree strongly.
Okay.
The solutions are heavily server-centric or service-centric, mm-hmm. and there is not an adequate user-centric solution, and there very much needs to be.
Okay, and when you say service-centric, could you give us some like examples of what you feel service-centric systems are today?
By my definition, any system where the identifier and verification of the user is dependent on the service provider, often called the identity provider, but just generally the service provider, and where the claims are not portable and not not fully under the control of the user to wield is not user-centric.
Okay, all right. Awesome, thanks. Okay, so we go down and we like assert that this creates problems, like there are a number of problems here. With service-centric architectures. The way that we phrased what you said is, you know, identity services inject themselves into every relationship in the ecosystem. They're kind of the middle end, right? And in order for the ecosystem to operate, you have to have that identity provider in the center, and they may not have the best interests of the user at heart, right? So what that means is that people can't easily change their service provider, their identity provider, their service provider without losing their digital identity. Like actually, you know, the core part of who they are online or how they express who they are online is lost. And, you know, we basically assert that that leads to things like vendor lock-in and identity fragility and, you know, reduced competition in the marketplace and reduced privacy. Do you see any issues with that statement, or do you see something that we should add there? Any concerns about that statement?
I have zero concerns. If anything, it's not strong enough.
Okay.
All the problems, all the issues you're pointing out are issues, I believe, for end users. They're not issues for existing service providers. They're advantages for existing service providers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I lived through the reality of OpenID from start to finish. From start to when I started putting my efforts elsewhere. And I saw that as a protocol intended to give users independent, portable identity,
mm-hmm.
it actually ended out favoring the very largest service providers on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
It was not anyone's fault, especially not those at the table at the outset. It's inherent in what Doc Searls calls the calf-cow architecture of the internet, the client-server architecture, and to move to systems that really give users independence requires, you know, an architectural step that has to be reflected in the protocols and standards. And that's not, that step has not been taken in OpenID, in SAML. OAuth is maybe a little bit more neutral that way, but it's still it doesn't fundamentally support portable identifiers and portable clients.
Mm-hmm.
And
so,
the last thing I'll say is that the what's hard to quantify, in advance of it happening, is what would happen in the marketplace, how large an economic driver it would become if you had that standard. The best example I can give is no one knew how much impact credit cards would have on the economy until we finally had credit cards that, you know, you could be used across sites, across merchants and across banks instead of store-specific or bank-specific cards.
Mm-hmm.
Once we finally had them, you know, it became a whole sector of the economy. But you can't see that. You can't prove that that's possible until you've made it possible.
Right. Okay. At what point did you feel, like you said, you were involved in the OpenID process? How deeply involved were you in that process? I mean, enough to really... was it enough to really understand how the OpenID protocol worked and you know its benefits and drawbacks, or were you there mostly as an observer?
No, I was one of the founding board members, brought one of the four technologies that came together into OpenID 2, mm-hmm. And then saw it languish in the marketplace in the face of the growth of Facebook and social sign-in. And the need, because it didn't address authorization, the need that it really engendered for OAuth, and then the whole need of to go back to the drawing board and design what's now OpenID Connect.
Mm-hmm.
At the point that the work on OpenID Connect began, I actually at that point became executive director of the Information Card Foundation, started concentrating on information card technology because it addressed some of the portability and issues, some of the claims and verified claims issues that were not being addressed by OpenID.
Sorry
to put a lot of that effort.
Gentlemen, I'm having some difficulty keeping up.
Sorry.
Sorry.
Okay, that's fine.
Well, all right.
I can think of prescribing. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, if you're... able to do that, that'd be great.
Sure. I'll slow down a little bit too. So anyway, I was on the OpenID board until the point that, we had to transition to OpenID Connect and the whole, you know, what really became the third generation. If OpenID Generation 1 was the initial protocol that around which the foundation was initially started, And then the foundation started to standardize what we called OpenID 2, which is to bring the four different protocols together and turn them into something that was a referenceable standard. And then that is what was not succeeding in the face of the emergence of social login like Facebook Connect. And then the third generation was the recognized OAuth had taken off, and it was recognized, hey, we got to create an OAuth-based version that addresses a number of issues, and that became OpenID Connect. So I was not involved in the architecture or development or finalization of that third generation OpenID Connect.
Do you think OpenID Connect got it right, or do you think it, like, what do you feel like, because OpenID Connect exists today, a lot of this verifiable claims problem statement and the problem we're trying to solve is a solved problem? Like, you know, maybe OpenID Connect can carry some of these claims, and because of that, then that's all we really need, right, is OpenID Connect plus some minor extensions? Or do you feel like we're still talking about a pretty big architectural shift to achieve user-centric?
We're still talking about a big architectural shift. If it's helpful, I can try and articulate why.
Please, yes, that would be super helpful.
So what OpenID Connect still doesn't address is portability of a user's digital identity and portability of their claims. And I personally have been convinced for some time now that we're only going to get there by moving to a semantic graph model for the modeling of the identity, the modeling of the claims. And I don't think unless you take that step, you're going to get to something that is flexible enough, adaptable enough, extensible enough to become a general purpose tool instead of something that is basically just standardizes single sign-on or simplified sign-on, whatever you want to call. In a nutshell,
So when you say semantic graph technologies, could you be a bit more specific there?
Yeah, I can be a little bit more specific. I think that the identifiers are going to need to be portable, and that they're going to need to be associated with semantic graphs that represent the claims and the relationships for a user or for a group that a user is part of, for a business, for an organization, and that is finally going to provide the technological basis for interoperability and portability that's going to be essential for broad adoption.
Okay. So technologies like the XDI work that you've been involved with for a long time, and potentially the W3C like linked data work?
Absolutely, and those are the two specific things. RDF and specifically linked data because of the usability it brings to RDF and XDI are the two things I would point to.
Okay. Okay, all right. So we are moving to the second bullet item in the problem statement where it's asserted that there is no interoperable standard capable of expressing and transmitting rich verifiable claims that cuts across industries like financial, retail, education, healthcare. And the problem that creates is, industries create industry-specific solutions that are costly, inefficient, proprietary, and inhibit a user's ability to manage their digital identities in a cohesive way. I think you've kind of covered that, but do you find any language in there to be wrong, or would you modify it in any way?
Now, again, I wouldn't change a word. I would just emphasize that what it doesn't state is if you break out of industry-specific solutions, you will enable a whole new level of not just e-commerce, but e-business, relationships and businesses that can take place online that can't today because mm-hmm. there's too much friction.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then the third bullet item in the problem statement asserts that there's no standard that makes it easy for users to assert their qualifications to a service provider, like I am a citizen of the United States of America, or I am a board certified doctor, or I took a particular class. Do you know of any technology that makes that easy to do today?
It's an unsolved problem in terms of something that has gained any, I mean, not just wide adoption, even incremental adoption. It's all, mm-hmm. you know, industry-specific or site-specific. I mean, it's a real problem. There are services out there will offer it in narrow areas, but there's nothing approaching a standard that's made a dent in it. And that, you know, that was... It was in scope for OpenID Attribute Exchange. It was absolutely center of the bowling alley for the Information Card initiative. And, you know, neither one of them really, you know, have made a dent in that part of the problem. I know OpenID, you know, I don't want to, you know, I work very closely with Don Thibault and a lot of folks in the OpenID community. And I don't want to go on record as saying, hey, you know, it hasn't worked. I know they're still working on it. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't change my mind that until you move to a semantic graph model for the claims and the sharing of the claims and make it portable, we won't get over the hump.
Okay. So there have been a number of people. So we've done these interviews with a variety of different people, and some of them are asserting that, you know, OpenID's attribute exchange is ideally suited for exactly what we're talking about. So all you need to do is use the, you know, attribute exchange mechanism plus some Jose-based, you know, JWTs or JOTS, you know, signed statements using Jose. And then the problem solved. Like, you know, that's all you really need to express verifiable claims. Do you, you know, agree, disagree, partially agree or disagree with that statement?
I think you can absolutely make a case that the OpenID Connect architecture is designed to, you know, to provide claims. And I honestly have not gone back down inside the OpenID Connect standards when it comes to attribute verification and looked at, okay, do they provide signed claims that could be stored independent of the service provider, and do they provide anywhere near the portability that I think is going to be necessary? I don't believe the answer to any of those is yes. But I also am qualifying it by saying I haven't, you know, I haven't dived back down into it to, you know, to make sure that that's true.
Do you know of anyone that we could, like, definitively ask that question of, and they would be able to give us a, you know, a fairly in-depth answer, at least with where they are today?
Sure. Well, I mean, have you interviewed the three primary authors of OpenID Connect? John Bradley, Mike Jones at Microsoft, and Nat Sakamura at NRI. And I've known all three of them for a very long time. They were all very involved in, you know, OpenID 1. Actually, two of the three were pretty involved with information cards. You know, and they've all been, you know, involved to some extent with the XDI community for a long time. So I would definitely, you know, if you're going to get the strongest sort of positive, yeah, this is why we solved the problem, it would be from one or more of the three of them. And they're all, okay. They're all, you know, tremendously articulate. John Bradley is probably the one I'd point you to first if you can reach out if you'd like an introduction. Happy to do that. Maybe have you already talked to any of those three?
No, we haven't. So, you know, this we're kind of hearing from secondary or tertiary sources that, you know, this is already a solved problem. Why don't you just use, you know, sign attributes and OpenID Connect and the problem solved. We're trying to dig in with people that really know what they're, you know, with the people that are actually working on it to see if we can get a kind of a definitive answer from them. So that was very helpful. Thank you. We'll try and follow up with John Bradley. And would really appreciate an introduction if you could spare a couple of minutes to do that.
Happy to do that. I'll add it to my list right here. Intro to John. Okay.
Okay. All right. So, I mean, that's the problem statement. I mean, we're basically asserting that, you know, this is not a solved problem. Specifically, we're saying a user-centric mechanism for expressing and transacting verifiable claims is not a solved problem. And we're contrasting that to service-centric mechanisms. So we think the service-centric mechanism is a solved problem. Like OpenID Connect totally exists. You can do attribute exchange over it and all that kind of stuff. The thing that you don't have is, like you said, you know, a way to express this information as a semantic graph where the person actually decides where the stuff is stored and they can port it from one place to another. We're saying that that's the unsolved problem and that's where we need to do some work. So that's the problem statement. I'm going to jump around a bit. I'm going to go down to definitions here. Here's a link in IRC. And we really only, we make three definitions. So we're saying a verifiable claim is basically a set of statements that's cryptographically verifiable, right? So, you know, Drummond's last name is Drummond Reed. Like that is and if it was digitally signed by you, Drummond, then that is a cryptographically verifiable claim. Like if we can show that you own that, the private key that signed that, then we can say Drummond Reed says that his last name is Reed. So that's what we're calling a verifiable claim. Any questions on at least that definition there?
A verifiable claim? No, very clear.
Okay. And then user-centric versus service-centric. We're saying a user-centric system places people and organizations at the center of the ecosystem, meaning that, like, you know, people are the center, the holder of these claims are the center. And we're saying service-centric is kind of the opposite of that, where the service is the center of the ecosystem. So a service-centric example would be like Facebook or, you know, your Twitter ID. Those are very service-centric. And when you go to log in with Google Plus or Facebook or Twitter, you know, it's a service-centric experience. You're not picking your credentials from wherever you want to store them. You have to store them at Facebook or Twitter. Is the definition and the difference between user-centric and service-centric, do you feel it's clear enough in the definition?
Yeah, as I look at the page, I think, this is truly editorial writing feedback.
Uh-huh.
That if you read through the ramifications of each, it makes it clear. The definition by itself, system places people and organizations at the center of an ecosystem, it's too vague.
Okay.
In other words, well, what does that really mean?
Right.
Now, the bullets make it clear, and so I'm not suggesting anything that needs to but if you didn't have the ramifications, these definitions, in my opinion, wouldn't be strong enough.
Okay.
If it comes to it, okay, what's a good, precise definition of user-centric, service-centric? I'd be happy to work with it because I really think the bullets come through. And, this is a subject near and dear to my heart because, you know, what we're doing with the Respect Network is we're building an entire network based on that's user-centric. So,
right.
You know, we started with a legal framework and five principles of what we believe that meant in, you know, literally in law. So I'm not suggesting you go that far, but it's, you know, it's a level of precision and depth that that's not reflected here yet.
So one, we would absolutely love some help with the definition of user-centric and service-centric, especially if you can, like, think of someplace you've read a really fantastic explanation of those things, like a terse but really good explanation of those things. So please help us with that.
Sure.
The other one is, could you go into the Respect Network a bit more deeply and maybe go over those five key tenets and just give us some background on Respect Network and why you're working on it and whether it has any applicability to what we're talking about today?
Yeah, but let's not go too far into it or we'll spend the whole rest of the call on it. very briefly, if you imagine, you know, the problem you're solving here, right, user-centric, you know, claims and users having control of their claims, and you just extended and said, okay, what if you said, okay, there was a network in which, like similar to a social network, where when you join the network, you're not only getting portable identifier or identifiers and a semantic graph that you can use, but you are guaranteed legally in the membership agreement. There's five core principles. We call them the five P's. It's a promise of permission, protection, portability, and proof. And I'll put the URL into the chat. And what that means is the promise is every member of the network is agreeing to this same, is making this promise to every other member of the network. So it's a mutual contract between all the members of the network. It's not a one-sided agreement like, you know, Facebook terms of service or Twitter terms of service. The permission means all data and all, you know, all claims, anything that's being shared is used by permission. Protection is when you share data, you agree to protect it. You know, when you accept shared data, you agree to protect it. The portability is, you know, again, a fundamentally core principle. The identity and data of any member is portable. No service provider can lock it in. And therefore, the entire architecture is built to provide portability. That's why it's all based on semantic graphs. And the last one, proof, is a step beyond what we're talking about here, and it says enforcement of that agreement across the network is actually through a reputation system. So the entire network, every person, every business on the network is part of a reputation system, which at a baseline is just establishing the level of trust that other members have in you to live up to that agreement, be it a person or a business.
That's great. So do you think that there is a network of any kind that exists today that meets all of the five P's that you just outlined?
No, absolutely not. That's why we're building it.
Right. Okay. All right.
And I just want to stress that one of my great reasons for being interested in this work, once you made me aware of it, is, you know, portable claims, portable digital identity is just fundamental. We can't build the network without it. So it's a starting place for us, not an ending place.
Got it. Okay, so let me jump and look at some of these other questions that we have. And let me actually, you know, pause here for a second. We're about halfway, you know, through the amount of time that we have to chat with you today. The general question is, you know, do you feel that there's a certain part of this problem that should be tackled before the other? So, for example, you know, if you agree with the problem statement and, you know, the ramifications of user-centric versus service-centric, do you feel like just working on, like, the data format, like the semantic graph modeling portion of it, and saying, like, that's the first work item, if that's going to be enough? Or do you feel like you have to work on the data model and the data syntax, and you also have to work on the protocol, like how do you issue credentials, how do you store them, how do you request them? Do those things have to be done in parallel? Or do you feel like there's a way that you could phase this work so that you get, you know, phase one done, then phase two done, then phase three done? Any thoughts?
I'm always in favor of phasing the work, but I don't think that the architecture and the technological solution can be separated out that way. You have to look at the requirements, overall requirements, holistically, and you've got to look at, I'd actually say you left out, you know, the three legs of the triangle, right? Mm-hmm. There's the data format, there's the protocol, but there's also the identifiers.
Right.
And if you don't look at all three legs of the triangle and make sure you're actually building a pyramid that will hold up, you can get it wrong, and it won't hold up. And I mean, we all say that facetiously, but I would argue, well, yeah, but whole huge efforts in the industry have failed for that reason.
Because
so,
there were not portable identifiers.
And I'm not going to put just. I'm not going to say that's you know the reason, but I'll say this: in having spent literally 15 years on that, you know, that's been one core aspect of the problem space that I've been working on for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot harder than it looks. I don't probably need to tell you that, Manu, and it's a lot mm-hmm. more important than it looks.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think, for instance, if you don't pay attention to that, you're going to find that all the claims and the protocols will end up being server-centric. And I want to put a fine point on that. OpenID said, we're going to solve that problem by letting anyone have a URL.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I mean, mm-hmm. it was a solved problem as far as they were concerned going into the design of OpenID. Everyone mm-hmm. can have a URL.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't recognize that URLs and, you know, were not designed to be portable identifiers.
Mm-hmm.
And it just was, I mean, I can go on literally for several hours about how much mm-hmm. deeper that problem gets just around identifiers. But that's one aspect. I mean, claims that are tackled in a, market language and not a semantic graph, and mm-hmm. the entire information card effort mm-hmm. was based around claims expressed in XML mm-hmm. and not in the semantic graph. Mm-hmm. Once again, it looks easy. It looks straightforward with a bunch of really smart people around the table working on it. Hit the wall.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you could, and then the protocol, don't get me started on that piece.
Well, we would like to hear a bit about your experiences in the protocol as well. But I want to kind of finish out this thought on the, you know, the decentralized identifier or the, you know, portable identifier. What do you think are the minimum requirements for that identifier? Like if that identifier were to exist, you're saying that URLs, like HTTP-based URLs, are probably not the solution. You know, what is the solution? What are the basic requirements for that solution?
I can, you know, give a fairly short answer by saying that I think it was pretty well articulated in the Web DHT spec. I mean, if you call that, I know it's a draft. And I'm not saying, it's important to clarify that it's not that an HTTP-based identifier could not be portable. It's that the design of DNS fundamentally is not there are aspects of portable and persistent identifiers that are not addressed by DNS-based identifiers. You have to move over to URNs or DOD. URNs, OIDs. Trying to remember the one that. The acronym for the digital object identifiers, DOIs, to get into the space of identifiers that are designed for, you know, persistence.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, the big challenge is Zuko's triangle. I assume you guys are all pretty familiar with that.
Yep.
It's a deep, hard space, and if you ultimately want to have an identifier that's persistent, that can be, whose resolution can can be controlled and by the user, can be ported by the user, then solving the problem of providing that technically and making it usable is very hard.
Right. Okay. All right. So looking through, some of the other questions that we may have, we have been met with a fair bit of skepticism with this initiative. So what we're trying to figure out is, the skepticism kind of comes in various forms, but one of them is, we don't see how this initiative, what this problem statement is any different from OpenID Connect or SAML or Liberty Alliance or those previous things. Do you see what the difference is, or do you still think that the way that we've worded the problem statement, that it's unclear how we're trying to differentiate this work from the work that has kind of flowed before it?
So I do see the difference in a major way. As I read through the page, I can see why others are looking at it saying as not enough of a difference, right? It's a matter of perspective on these underlying problems. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure, I attended the prep call that you had and then followed a couple of links that you put up to read about the critiques, and they're good. They're real. Mm-hmm. The challenges of moving from centralized authorities and sources of claims and verification of claims to decentralized are enormous.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have a combination of two factors. You've got hard technical problems that have to be solved, and you have entrenched interests who are not only not interested but actively opposed to having their power base be threatened by decentralized solutions. So when you put that combination together, you're really, you're going uphill.
Right.
I'm not quite sure what the best way to do that. I do agree with the idea that the more precisely you can articulate what's missing in existing systems, why they don't solve, what you're calling the user-centric problem, the better you can do that, the more it will make it clear this work is needed. I don't know. I literally just don't know, though, on a political basis, whether it's a winnable war.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to leave that to you. As you know, Manu, I left the process of sort of fighting those political battles to mm-hmm. go back to the to the industry side, to the startup side, to say, all right, enough arguing about it. We're just going to build something that proves the value. And yes, it's going to be based on open standards, and some of them we got to continue to invent as we build it. And so I have a bias at this point to doing that, but I will absolutely support, if the W3C, I think it's done great work with JSON-LD and it's really helped open things up. So I'm very optimistic if something can be done, this is the right group to do it.
Right. So you think that, so there are two the questions there. One of them is, you think that this is a solvable problem. Like you don't see the problem being a technological one. Clearly you have to build new technologies to address the problem, but it's not like we're talking about, faster than light travel. It's something that, we could achieve, in 2 or 3 years if we decided on the right direction to go, in the right direction to head in. Is that a true statement? Like you believe
absolutely.
It's a solvable problem? Okay.
Absolutely. And I'm not saying that XDI is needed for something like that, something that is out at the edge of semantic graph technology. I think it can, that JSON-LB has established a solid foundation. The work, the Web DHT work, and blockchain technology, all the crypto is there. It is really the problem is a matter of getting to consensus and then deployed code bases that will implement portable claims and portable digital identity.
Where do you think the work is best done? Like, do you think it's done at a, I mean, like you've made the assertion that you're moving to the startup realm and you're going to just start building and deploying there. Clearly that's one way to go about it. There another way is to try to go to a standard setting organization and do the work there. And clearly those two can be done in parallel, right? In fact, it would be best if they're done in parallel. Which standard setting organization do you feel has the is kind of the best place to make rapid progress here? Is it like OASIS or IETF? Or W3C, or should there be something else like a new OpenID Foundation or an InfoCard Foundation that picks up the work? What do you think would be the most kind of successful?
The only clear answer I'd give you is, relative to that question, is that probably not the latter. In other words, we literally had sort of org after org, happen to help with this, and OpenID Foundation, arguably the OpenID Foundation, could have done its work inside one of the existing SDOs. It just politically didn't come together that way. So I don't think it's going to require a new SDO. I could be wrong about that, meaning if the entrenched interests just never bite onto this, then it may be, it could end up with another thing like OpenID. There are also folks, I'm almost certain, I can hear Don Thibault, in my ear right now saying, oh, no, that is what OpenID Foundation should be doing. And, if you don't agree that technology is right, it should be another OpenID working group. I really don't know. My experience, as you know, for a long time has been with OASIS because that's where the XDI work has been. Yours has been with W3C, and I think, that's produced some outstanding stuff, and ITF is always going to be there. So I don't feel I have enough experience with those other organizations to guide you there.
Okay. All right. But that's super, super helpful input. Okay. Well, I'm scanning down the list of open questions that we had. We've gone through most of them, and you've given us fantastic answers for all this stuff. So, thank you. The amount of insight that you have in the space is really great, and it's probably the deepest insight that we've gotten to date, because you've been involved, in this stuff over the last 15 years. So, thank you so much for that. Let's take a quick travel through, technologies. I know we already asked the question, is there a set of technologies that exist today that can solve this problem? Are there technologies today that can solve kind of bits and pieces of this? Like, would you, if you were creating a system like this today, what bits of OAuth 2 would you use, or what bits of OpenID Connect would you use, or what bits of Jose, JSON-LD, Bitcoin, hierarchical keys, stuff like? Can you identify really interesting technologies, or even of course the XDI stuff? Like, could you identify interesting technologies that you feel would really accelerate the process? Like, if we just use technology X, then we could cut down the amount of time, development time, by 1.5 years or 2 years. Do you have any strong feelings about that?
I have a very strong feeling that the basis for the solution needs to be semantic graphs. Very strong. I mean, complete conviction about that. But I think, you know, RDF and JSON-LD will absolutely do the trick. XDI eventually will totally do the trick, but it's still very young and not at the point where I think you'd want to, you know, try and use it to solve this problem. But I don't. The crypto, I am a huge fan of the HD keys and what the Bitcoin community has developed for the usability. I've been getting steeped in that over the past 6 months working with Christopher Allen, and I absolutely believe that that should be the really if I'm realizing earlier on that there was one thing I may not have mentioned that you're now reminding me I could point to, because even in my own thinking, it's evolved tremendously in the last year. What's not addressed in the existing protocols, OpenID, SAML, OAuth, you name it, what's really missing completely is key management, and specifically user-centric key management. There practically does not exist an animal in the world today that meets that requirement. The closest thing you could come to is, surprise, surprise, Bitcoin wallets. And the reason is Bitcoin is based entirely on cryptographic proof of identity, or proof of control, really, is would be better. And if you're going to provide portable identity and portable claims with real control by the user, then you have to solve that problem.
Right.
You have to solve the problem of user-centric, user-side, user-controlled key management. I believe that, you know, at this point, what the Bitcoin community has done with HD keys and where it's going with how to actually build in key recovery as part of the overall solution is going to be what's required to really, literally, put this in quotes, hand over the keys to the user.
Okay, good, good, good. Okay, that's great. Okay, well, so, you know, we have gotten a tremendous amount of really great info from you today, and we're basically, you know, the reason we've been scribing everything is we're you know, writing it down, and we're going to report back to the Web Payments Interest Group and the Credentials Community Group and W3C Management on your thoughts. We're getting to the top of the hour. Do you have any other kind of thoughts or concerns about the work? Before we close this discussion out?
Not really. I mean, I'm tremendously interested to see if it's like being interviewed for a presidential election. You know, you're like, okay, well, here's my opinions, but what actually is going to happen here?
Right.
In this particular case, I'm absolutely fascinated to see if the W3C and the, you know, the powers that be will decide that this is, you know, worth moving into from the community group into, you called it official. Does that mean they'll start a
working group? Yeah. I mean, what we're trying to do is in the next, you know, 3 to 4 months, we're trying to get a working group set up. And in order to do that, they want us to do our due diligence because this is a, you know, this is a well-trod road. So they want to make sure that, you know, we talk with folks like you that have a tremendous amount of background in this space to see if we're making any obvious mistakes. Like, why is this time going to be any different? So, I mean, maybe that's a good parting question. Did you see anything that makes what we're attempting to do different this time around than, let's say, SAML or OpenID Connect?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's the sums up the whole interview. If the aspects of the problem that we've talked about are specifically in the charter of this new group, then it will then it can actually solve the problem and get to user-centric interoperable claims in a way that I would argue they are not going to. I don't think you know, it's not SAML that aspires to that, but I think OpenID Connect does. And I can definitely see the argument. Like I said, if Don Thibeau were here, he would totally say, no, you don't need to do this. Whatever it is, bring it to OpenID Foundation, and we'll make it the next generation of what we're doing. Mm-hmm. So from my perspective, I don't know about the political standards battle, where the work needs to lie, but we have to get to semantic graphs, portable identifiers, and user control key management, and then we can finally get to the place that the industry's been trying to get. And until we tackle those things, unless we tackle those things, and mm-hmm. you know, and if you could put together the effort that will tackle those things, then it can get there. And the hard problems that were brought up, and I can't remember who, Manny, what was the document that you referenced on the, you sent the link to that had the critique?
Brad Hill.
Brad Hill,
did a critique,
It was, he was very articulate about the challenges. And I believe those are all solvable, but I don't want to minimize that they're real challenges.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, I mean, that's a good note, to end on. Thank you again, Drummond, so much for your time. We really appreciate it. We'll publish these minutes publicly, and I'll CC you on that, just so you can correct anything that we may have misscribed. Okay. Well, thanks again, Drummond, so much. And we'll be in touch. We'll let you know how this stuff proceeds over the next couple of weeks. And hopefully something good will come out of it in the next couple of months.
Super. You guys are absolutely, carrying the water here. So I wish you the best and will help any way that I can.
Great. Thanks so much, Drummond. Take care.
All right. Thank you, man. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.